Good morning. Morning. So, I guess I found out, Charlotte told me, and I guess Tony mentioned it. I didn't quite hear him because I was in and out a bit. But I guess Canada won its first gold medal in trampolining. Yeah. See, I've been following the Olympics through Facebook, and like when New Zealand got its medals, it was like, explosion. We're proud, yeah. But I haven't seen a single Facebook post about Canada's trampolining, so I don't even know what that is. Has anyone seen that? Somersaults. Okay. Baseball's not an Olympic sport, but somersaults. Yeah. Okay, gymnastics. Okay. Actually, I heard someone told me a good way to figure out whether something is a sport or a game, and it was if you can text while you're playing it, it's a game, and if you can't, then it's a sport. So, I don't know. Yeah, so we're still in the Not a Fan series. It was supposed to end last week, but then a good person came up, and Ken, and not that I'm saying anything, and he said, we could use a little bit more application. You know, could you tell us some, like, actual things we could actually do to actually put in the words that you were saying into practice? Like, is there actual, some tangible things we can do? He didn't say exactly like that, but I think that's what you meant, right? Yeah. So that's what we're going to do in this sermon. Now, in this sermon, the way it's going to roll is the first half is going to seem like a mini sermon, but really it's just one big application point. And then the second half is going to be just lots of things you can do. But before we even get into that, last week I was just going through old YouTube videos, and I found this one, and I'd seen it quite a while ago, and I was like, wow, this video is like my sermon in 5 minutes, like my last 10 weeks of my sermon, all in like 5 minutes. So it's too much of a coincidence. It's kind of edgy. It's from a late night show. It's an interview with a comedian, but I think he really gets, especially at the end, really some of the key messages I was trying to get across in a more humorous light. So we will... Oh, is there a problem with the video?
In a way, good, because when I read things like the foundations of capitalism are shattering, I'm like, maybe we need that. Maybe we need some time where we're walking around with a donkey with pots clanging on the sides. Yeah.
You think that would just bring us back to reality?
Yeah, because everything is amazing right now and nobody's happy. Like, in my lifetime, the changes in the world have been incredible. When I was a kid, we had a rotary phone. We had a phone that you had to stand next to, and you had to dial it.
Yes.
You realize how primitive? You're making sparks in a phone. And you actually would hate people with zeros in their numbers, because it was more... It's
right.
Like, oh, this guy's got two zeros. Screw that guy. Why do I want to... And then if they called and you weren't home, the phone would just ring lonely by itself. And then if you wanted money, you had to go in the bank for when it was open for like 3 hours. You had to stand in line, write yourself a check like an idiot. And then when you ran out of money, you'd just go, well, I can't do any more things now.
Right.
I can't do any more
things. That's it, yeah.
That was it. And even if you had a credit card, the guy would go, ugh, and he'd bring out this whole shunk, and he'd write,
yes.
You'd have to call the president to see if you had any money. And
it's all true, kids. You had to call the president, yeah. It was ridiculous.
Yes.
Do you feel that we now, in the 21st century, we take technology for granted?
Well, yeah, because now we live in an amazing, amazing world, and it's wasted on the crappiest generation of just spoiled idiots that don't care, because this is what people are like now. They got their phone, and they're like, ugh, it won't... Give it a second! It's going to space! Can you give it a second to get back from space? Is the speed of light too slow for you?
Yeah.
I was on an airplane, and there was internet, high-speed internet on the airplane. That's the newest thing that I know exists. And I'm sitting on the plane, and they go, open up your laptop, you can go on the internet. And it's fast, and I'm watching YouTube clips. I'm in an airplane. And then it breaks down, and they apologize, the internet's not working. The guy next to me goes, this is bullshit. Like, how quickly the world owes him something he knew existed only 10 seconds ago.
Right. Right.
And on planes... I mean, Flying is the worst one because people come back from flights and they tell you their story. And it's like a horror story. It's they act like their flight was like a cattle car in the 40s in Germany. That's how bad they make it sound.
Right.
They're like, it was the worst day of my life. First of all, we didn't board for 20 minutes. Right. And then we get on the plane and they made us sit there on the runway for 40 minutes. We had to sit there. Oh, really? What happened next? Did you fly through the air incredibly like a bird? Did you partake in the miracle of human flight, you non-contributing zero, that you got to fly? You're flying! It's amazing! Everybody on every plane should just constantly be going, oh my God! Wow!
Yes!
You're flying. You're sitting in a chair in the sky.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Now, Louis.
But it doesn't go back a lot. and it's not really. You know, here's the thing. People, like, they say there's delays on flights.
Yeah.
Delays, really? New York to California in 5 hours. That used to take 30 years to do that. And a bunch of you would die on the way there and have a baby. You'd be a whole different group of people by the time you got there. Now you watch a movie and you take a dump in your home.
Yeah. Nicer way to say it than that, but yeah.
No.
Now, Louis, before we go, we don't have much time, but I know that you have talked about your children before.
Yeah.
In your comedy, and you've said some rough, horrible things about your kids.
Yes.
How are you feeling now? How about the children?
Well, I blame myself more now because I'm an older father, and I've realized I don't have crappy kids.
Right.
I'm a crappy dad.
Oh, that's the good news.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm trying. Here's, like, I make huge mistakes. Like, I was telling my daughter. My daughter was asking me these questions once, and I'm just doing stuff. And, hey, Daddy, does the world go around the sun? I'm like, yeah. She goes, does it go in a square or a circle? I'm like, it's like an oval. She says, does the earth go around the sun all the time? I'm like, yeah. She says, will it always go around the sun? And I go, well, yeah, not always, because at some point the sun's going to explode. I said this to a six-year-old.
Yeah.
I told her the sun's going to explode. She starts crying immediately, just bitter tears for the end of all humanity and life. And here's how I tried to save it. I go, honey, this isn't going to happen until you and everybody you know has been dead for a really long time. She didn't know any of those things. Now she knows all of those things.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
She's going to die. Everyone she knows is going to die. They're going to be dead for a long time, and the sun's going to explode. And I'm proud of her how she took it, though. She was like, ugh. Woo! Wow. Guess I'll go play.
Yeah, shake that off.
Till I die.
Louis C.K. Chewed Up premieres Saturday at 11 on Showtime. And you can get Louis on his national theater tour, Louis C.K.
Anyway, so if you've been here for a lot of my sermons, you heard a lot of that in the series. And the main point I show that just to add some humor to the service, but to, you know, one of my big points with how to become a follower of Jesus instead of a fan is you really got to break this whole materialism, this whole we need stuff to make us happy. We need to be rich to make us happy. Because, I mean, right at the beginning, the comedian said, you know, the first thing is, he says, your life is amazing, and yet you're not happy. I mean, your life is absolutely amazing. I mean, unless you're getting beat and raped every day and starving in a small room or something like that, and if you live here in New Zealand, your life is amazing. I mean, no question. It is amazing. You know, when I was growing up, I had and I love her to bits, and she was awesome, especially before a car accident, but I had a disabled mother, right? And she had massive paranoia. She had all sorts of weird stuff going on. Looking back, it was really kind of a nightmare growing up with that from my childhood. We were poor. We were dirt poor. I lived right in the downtown area of my city. You know, as a kid, as a young kid, I found two dead bodies growing up in around where I grew up. You know, I saw people beat, horrendously, you know, gang fights, those types of things. I heard girlfriends getting pounded by their boyfriends, screaming was common in the doors, apartments next to mine. I saw our version of SWAT team twice come into my building, once involving a drug bust in the apartment next door. All through junior high, which is years 7 to 9, I was beat up, made fun of, ridiculed, even during class. Teacher would leave, I would get the crap beat out of me. I'm a small guy. I was even smaller then. I remember I was good at Pogs. Does anyone remember Pogs? Does anyone know this game? Yeah, okay, so it's these, like, bottle cap things, little, I don't know, and you would hit them with bigger things called slammers, and you would hit them, and you would flip them over, and it was just like this gambling game, right, where I put in 5 Pogs, you put in 5 Pogs, and then we flip a coin, and whoever goes first then tries to hit the Pogs over, because they had 2 sides, and if you hit them over, you get them all, and I was really good at this game, and one day, you know, I was really cleaning up, and I had tons, and I didn't have a lot of money. I mean, a lot of the rich kids just had Pogs, because they bought them, but I just won them all. Right, and but then one day this kid who was really angry that I beat him, he took my container that had them all, and we're tons of kids. This was an obsession at this year. Tons of kids were playing all around us, and he kicked all my Pogs everywhere and my slammers, and then he yelled "Free Pogs!" and then all these kids just took them all, and then I had none, all gone. Right, I had stories like that all the time growing up. You know, I found my mom dead on a couch, and then with we called the paramedics, they come, they bring her back to life. They bring her back to life, but she's a vegetable, and then a week later, she dies in my arms as I cried, as my dad took her off life support. And you know what? My life has been amazing, okay? It is so ridiculously good how good my life is. You know, I've had food most of the time to eat. You know, I found this old hockey stick in the garbage, which I used for about 15 years, which was really useful. So I could play hockey with other kids, street hockey. I was able to borrow video games from friends when they got bored of them, right? You know, I mean, I had friends, even though I got beat up, I still had friends. I went to school. I had an education. I've been to the dentist. You know, ultimately, I've accepted the good news of Jesus Christ. My life is amazing. I mean, it's amazing now. It's like crazy how amazing now it is. But it was amazing then, too. And the sooner you realize that about your life, the better. Right? I'm not saying life can't be hard. Right? I'm not saying life can't be hard. I know there are many people here, even today, who are having a very tough go of things. And it's my hope that as a church body, we can help support those people. But getting a new iPhone isn't going to change anything in the long run. You know, a new boyfriend isn't going to matter if you expect them to fulfill the role God is supposed to fulfill. You'll just end up destroying yourself, the guy, and your relationship. What I'm saying is you already have more material wealth than most humans have ever had in the entire history of the world, and you're still unhappy. I mean, almost everyone in this room is richer than, like, Caesar. You know, I mean, you have a microwave. You can just heat stuff on will. You can get in the hot water bathtub. You can have instant entertainment. You can listen to any band in the world. You can go anywhere in the world, right? You know, it's amazing. You have an absolute insane amount of wealth. And yet, most people still aren't happy. Suicide rates are higher in the more prosperous countries. I mean, it's not an exact correlation, but it's just so bizarre. It seems like the more stuff you get, the less happy, the less joy you get out of life. It's so bizarre. And so one of the first steps in solving a problem is, besides recognizing that you have a problem, is recognizing which solutions are the wrong solutions. And materialism, I got to get more stuff. I got to have the good life. I got to go, you know, I got to do all these things. I got to go to Australia. I got to go to Europe. I need this. I need that. That is the wrong solution. Right? So you just need to really get that into your head. One of the ways to really apply this whole 10-week series we just had, not a fan series, is just to really get it into your head. Materialism, the mantra of our culture isn't the right solution. It's the wrong solution. It will just lead you down a path of destruction. And just as we saw in the video, you know, because you're going to die, your kids are going to die, everyone you helped in your life is going to die, their kids are going to die, everyone is going to die, the sun's going to explode, the earth will be annihilated, the universe will experience heat death, and then that's it. If the Christian narrative is false. But I mean, that's what you're going for. That's the narrative you're saying, I want that, when you're just grasped by materialism. So that is the wrong solution, and you just need to really get it into your head. Right? You know, in the same way that we know that, you know, after you go to the washroom, you should wash your hands, because if you don't, if you just start licking your hands after you go to the washroom, you're going to get sick. I mean, you need to have that sort of understanding. Materialism will lead to that. It's like licking your hands after going to the washroom, but not in North America or here where we have toilet paper, but like in India where you use your hand, right? You know, that's what it's like when you're following this materialistic worldview. So you just need to just get that. That is a bad way of doing things. Because at the end of the day, when you're on your deathbed, you're not going to care that you had the iPhone 56 virtual machine. You're going to care, what did I do with my life? And where am I going after I die? I mean, that's really the question. If you're lucky enough to have a deathbed, that's the question you're going to be asking. So you just need to just get that into your head. Okay. So that's the more sermony part of the sermon. So just get that. Okay. So besides really getting that into your head, that materialism isn't the answer, how else can you break your materialism? What are some things you can do? What are some actual things you can do? Well, one, fasting. Have you heard of this term before? Fasting? I mean, it's not so common in our, you know, we like our McDonald's and our dim sum or yum cha and all that, right? But fasting. You know, what's very interesting, one thing I really like about Mormons is they have a lot of good things that they do. And one, I just think this is a really good idea. What they do is once every month, all devout Mormons will, on a Sunday, they call it Fast Sunday, they'll fast from two meals. And the money they save from those two meals, they then donate to a food charity to help feed the poor, right? Every single month, Mormons do this, right? And, you know, that's just a good thing to do, right? And it's what it does is one, you're hungry. So then you start to appreciate, wow, like when you eat that third meal, you're like, oh, that's a good third meal, right? But then you also have this extra money that you can give to people who maybe don't get the same meals that you do all the time, right? You know, so fasting, giving up stuff. Give up something for 40 days. Has anyone, you know, at Lent, often Christians around the world will give up things for 40 days. I've done this. I've given up TV shows, music, all sorts of things that were really controlling in my life at the time. So one thing you should just ask yourself is what do I spend most of my time doing that's a luxury, right? Maybe it's going to movies all the time. Maybe it's watching TV shows. Maybe it's reading, you know, 50 Shades of Grey. I don't know, right? Don't read that. I haven't, but don't. Anyway, you know, maybe it's just whatever. Maybe you have these things in your life that you use in all your luxury time. Take that away. Remove it from your life for 40 days and just see. And the idea is you remove it, and then you can, with that extra time, you can use that for spiritual things, such as, you know, the other things we're going to talk about soon here. Okay. Fasting. That's one thing. Another thing, buy gifts for others instead of yourself. You know, I'm not rich here in this context, but I'm filthy, obscenely rich in other parts of the world. And when Charlotte and I went to India for our honeymoon, I could finally be the person who buys the stuff, who pays for things. And man, that is awesome. I love that feeling. I mean, I wish I could just, right? And then when I was there, I could do it. I mean, for $1 Canadian, I mean, I could just, you know, I'll just buy the store here. Thank you, right? You know, it was really nice. It was just a really cool feeling. And it just felt good to be able to give to other people. And you know what? Jesus calls us to that, to be people who give to others, who share the wealth. And it's not only because it's a good thing in and of itself, but often there's joy in that. There's joy There's joy in sharing. Sorry, I'm sharing my sickness, which makes me actually kind of feel kind of good too, but because I'm bad that way. Okay. Now, I get the impulse, and thus I get the impulse we all have, for example, to give good gifts to our children, because it's a similar feeling. We all like giving good gifts to our children. And see, the thing is when we usually give good gifts, it is to our children or our nieces and our nephews. You know, but half the time, we give gifts to our children so they stop bugging us, right? So really, the reason you're giving your gifts to your children is just so they stop going, yeah, I want them, right? And we're just, oh, right? And we give it to them, right? That's not a good reason to be giving, right? So maybe take half the gifts that you give your children, you know, kind of just limit it to like really special occasions and use that other half to buy for children who don't get anything. I don't know. I'm just giving suggestions. You don't have to do these things. I'm just trying to give you possible ways to enact things I was talking about. Two, Jesus tells us that our neighbor goes beyond our family unit. I mean, you really need to do this. There's this interesting thought experiment I heard this pastor, Greg Boyd, once give. And he was talking to his daughter. And it was interesting because they were going to buy like new curtains for their house. But then his daughter was talking to him and she was like, Daddy, if someone were to come and on our front steps and they were like seriously hurt, you know, that, you know, I don't know, maybe they've been beat up or something or were shot or something like that. Maybe not shot, just beat up. Would it be our responsibility to like help them? Because like they're right, just imagine right on your front door, there's this guy who's like, right? Like, would it be your responsibility to like call someone to help them to do something? And the dad was like, yeah, I think so. Right. Well, how about if it was on the sidewalk in front of her house? Well, yeah, because he's like right there. Yeah, of course. Well, what if he's a block away? Well, yeah. I mean, if you saw him, yeah. Okay. Well, what if he's like three blocks away? Well, how about five blocks? How about if he's in the city next to us? What if he's in another country? You know, and what's interesting is that there's nothing really morally different between you being there and you being in India or somewhere else, right? And the point he was getting at was that everyone is our neighbor. Everyone is our neighbor, no matter how far or how close they are to us. And sometimes we just think, I'm only going to help the people right next to me. I'm only going to help the people who I like, right? And Jesus kind of expands the territory. Right? He kind of expands and says, everyone is your neighbor. And so once you realize that you can be a follower of Christ and you can do virtually anything for anybody, anywhere, that just creates an infinite amount of possibilities. There's an infinite amount of things you could be doing to be sharing good gifts with others. Okay, so those are just some things to maybe help break your materialism, things that can help you get the focus off of spending money on yourself and instead spending money on others. Those are just some things you could do. Another part of the Not Offense series was talking about purpose. You know, how do we find purpose in our life? Like, what is my purpose? What am I here for? Well, one thing, and I say this always, read Jesus. You know, go to the Gospels. Read what he says. Read what he's talking about. You know, try to enact what he's saying. Just read the Gospels. Right? And if you're confused about what he's saying, ask someone. You know, me. Call me anytime. It's weird. Last night, we keep on getting these weird phone calls at like midnight from people, but they don't talk. They just kind of, and then they hang up, and I'm really confused. So if that's someone here, and you're calling me, but you're like scared, like you're thinking I'm sleeping, no, you can talk. Anyway, okay, so yeah, if you have questions about Jesus, just ask me. Feel free, call me. It's great, but talk, okay? Last week on Wednesday, I think I was talking to Peter with Daniel, and he asked about The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. You know, that's a pretty good book. You know, I know it's really popular and all that, and oh, well, if it's popular, it has to be bad. No, it's actually a pretty decent book. And while Rick Warren is known for dumbing things down, that guy's actually a genius. You know, he's one of the smartest guys, if you ever meet him. He is com- incredibly well-read. He's a complete intellectual. He just knows how to just bring the message to the people, right? And that's a beautiful gift that he has. I wish I had that gift, especially next week when that'll be a challenge. Right? So Purpose-Driven Life. Get that book. I'm sure someone here owns it. So if you want to read it, just ask someone here. Someone will give it to you. He just really lays out some good, you know, why are we here? What is our purpose here? Another thing you can do is just ask other people. Ask other people in the church. Ask people. Find out what people think you're good at, right? And don't do that, no, I'm not good at that. You know, that fake, false, outright lie humility that we all do? You know, I'm not the best speaker in the world. You know, I know that, I'm not. But if I got up here and started saying, wow, I just suck donkey at being a speaker, well, that's a lie. So you guys don't do it. I mean, if people tell you that you're good at something, take that seriously. You know, oh, you're good at this. Really? Okay, thank you. And then if a lot of people are telling you are good at a certain thing, then maybe that's a gifting you can use to further the kingdom of God, to be a follower. There's all sorts of things that you can do. And it's not just being a pastor is not the only thing you can do to further the kingdom of God. I mean, I know, for example, Marty often talks about a businessman that he knows, a Christian businessman who gives lots of money to good Christian causes. So that guy uses his gift to make tons of money to then give that money away. You know, that's one thing. You know, missionary doctors and nurses. I mean, I can't go into another country and, you know, I mean, a lot of countries I just can't go to. Because, well, what's your degree? Oh, I'm a pastor. Well, sorry, we don't want you, right? But, I mean, if you're a doctor, if you have a dentist, if you're an eye doctor, all sorts of things, you have these tangible skills that you can go and actually help people in a physical sense and spread the good news, spread the kingdom in that way. I know there are people in this church who do that, who go to other countries, and it blows my mind away. I mean, it just warms my heart. It inspires me when I hear that, because they're using their God-given talents to help the people who are hurting in this world. I mean, use your gifts. You know, Tony Campolo tells this story about this lawyer he taught, this kid who was just a really good lawyer, and he got really convinced by Tony that as a follower of Christ, he needed to help the helpless in our society. And so he gave up this big career that he could have gotten in a big lawyer firm somewhere. And he does pro bono cases for people who can't afford a lawyer. And he's really good at it. And he just constantly gets people, in particular in the southern states, off of death row who shouldn't even be considered guilty, right? And it's just, you know, he's using his lawyering, is that a word? How do you say, right? Skills to help people, right? Using dance. When I was in the Korean church, I mean, everyone danced like ridiculously good. Like at least 80% of the congregation was all like backflip, right? You know, like really crazy good. Two people from my church went on Canada's version, So You Think You Can Dance. Like my church was just this cesspool of awesomeness when it came to dance. And they would use that to reach people. I remember, we went to the States, we went to Mexico, we built a house, we did these sort of things. But one thing they did to draw all these people is they would do all this dance stuff, then they'd start training people how to do it, and then they'd talk about their faith. And I don't know if there's long-term gain to that, but I mean, it's just a way of pointing yourself in a kingdom direction, right? And just using your gifts. I mean, you all have gifts. You're all good at something, right? You can use that to further the kingdom. I have this one friend in university. He was his hands, I don't know what the disease was, but his hands were all like this, his legs were all messed up. He could type with his mouth. You know those people can make their, like Jim Carrey or whatever, make their mouth move, and he'd be all going, right? He could do all that stuff. He could type faster than most people with his mouth. Right? It was just weird. And then he'd also do things like this sometimes. But he was really good at video games because really it was the only thing he could do was use a computer because of all his infirmities. And he had like an active ministry in online gaming. Like he was just that type of guy. Right? And there was fruit from that. It wasn't just like, oh yeah, I talk to people about Jesus, you know, when I swear that I lost the game. No, he like actively developed relationships and reached out to people through that market. Actually, we have one of the last people to get baptized here was reached in that way, you know, through gaming, right? So, I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do. You have gifts, every single one. You and you and you and you and you and all of you have gifts. Question is what are those gifts and can you use how to use them in a kingdom direction? Then we also talked about reading the Bible, right? You know, and that sermon had a lot of application in it. And I mean, a big chunk of the sermon was talking about application. But just to recap some short things. One, get a good study Bible. You know, there's so many, I mean, if you speak English, there are so many good study Bibles. It's ridiculous. I mean, there's a lot of good Christian bookstores here. Get a good study Bible, NIV study Bible, ESV study Bible, NLT study Bible. Good News Study Bible. I mean, HCSB Study Bible. Right? There's all sorts of good study Bibles out there. If you're a new Christian, my personal recommendation is the NLT Study Bible. If you've been a Christian for a very long time, maybe the ESV or NIV. There's a good book out by a man named Gordon Fee, a teacher at Regent College in Canada, called How to Read the Bible Book by Book. And he has actually three sets of books, How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth, How to Choose a Bible Translation, and How to Read the Bible Book by Book. And it's a book I have. If you want to borrow it, just ask me. And really, it's just it provides a short little commentary on every single passage in the Bible, but in a way for a new beginner to the faith. So it's just a good book you can use. And there's all sorts of things you can do. You know, read a passage, try to clarify it, use study notes, talk to people, even use Wikipedia if you're an academic, though don't always trust what's on there. You know, imagine yourself in the story, pray about what you're reading, meditate on it, discuss it with someone. You know, if you read something, you're like, what on earth is this saying? You know, go to Marty, go to Tony. I mean, they love talking about that stuff too, I think, right? Marty's like hiding. Daniel, you know, Jen, Ken, all these people, right? And live it. Try to apply what you're reading, right? If you read something and you're like, oh, I could change the way I live my life somehow by applying this principle, then do it. Do it, right? How to pray. You know, maybe some of you, what are some ways? I don't know how to pray. I suck at prayer, you know? Use other people's prayers. I mean, Christians have been writing prayers down for 2,000 years. There's prayers in the New Testament. Get their prayers. Some of those prayers are really smoking good. Get a prayer book. It's just, you know, there's so many good prayers. I mean, so if you're like, you know, my prayers are always like, I just want to like say I thank you, God, for just being, if that's your prayer, you know, and you want to improve on that, not that there's anything wrong with that prayer, but if you just want to maybe take it to the next level, find someone else's prayers, and I can point you to good prayer books and good things to do. Another thing you could do is write out your prayer. Instead of just trying to think of it off the top of your head, just write out the prayer. Just take the time, sit down, and just kind of like a blog post or a diary or something like that, write out your prayer. Use a prayer list. I mean, this is what I do. Make a prayer, because I never remember prayers, so I try to write them down. And you find that as you write things down, the list gets longer and longer and longer. And as when it's long, then you have a lot of stuff to pray about. And then you just start developing this habit. And you're never freaking out or worried or you get about what you're going to pray, because you have that right in front of you. So that's something to do if you're trying to improve your prayer life. How about evangelism? What are some good ways to evangelize? What are some practical things you can do? You know, ask deep questions at appropriate times. You know, why should we care for the environment? What does it mean to be a good person? What do you think happens when we die? Do you think we are here for a purpose? Do you think we have a destiny, or do we have the freedom to affect our future? What does it mean to be human? I mean, just ask these questions. Not even all these questions are remotely related to Christianity. Just ask deep questions with people, just to get to know who people are, right? Start making new friends. is another way to evangelize. I mean, I know one thing that happens when you become a Christian and you've been a Christian for a long time. What happens to all your friends? They just slowly become all Christian. Well, it's really hard to evangelize if the only people you're talking to are Christians, right? Try to make friends who are non-Christians. I remember when I was in university, while I was like all by myself, but then I was like, you know what, this is stupid. I don't want to be by myself anymore. So I started walking the same path to my classes every day, and I noticed that there was also other people who were always by themselves, always sitting by themselves, looking all depressed and sad like me, right? And so then one day I was just like, you know what, this is stupid, you know, and it's just, there's so many people in the school, who cares if I embarrass myself? I just went up, hey, you want to go play ping pong? I mean, that's what I said and to this one guy, and he's like, okay, right? So we go, we played ping pong, and then we ended up becoming really excellent friends. He was in the anime, I was in the anime, all these sorts of things. And then we're playing ping pong, and then other people are like, oh, look, those white guys are playing ping pong. That's weird. And then people started to play, and I started, got this big group of friends out of it, ultimately, right? You know, take that risk. Go out. Try to make new friends. Not just to evangelize them, just because it's good to make friends and to have people who think differently than you, because then they challenge you, they push you, you know iron sharpens iron, and it's a good habit to get into. Finally, what are just some good things you can do as a Christian under no particular category? You know, apologize for something you've done. Maybe you know you've done something really stupid. Apologize for it, right? Before we take communion, you're always asked to reflect and to make good with people you have problems with before you to partake in the communion. Yeah, because it's good to mend those bridges, right? So if there's someone you know you've really done a wrong to, try to repair that. If you have a sin that is bringing you down, find somebody to help you with that. Talk to someone, right? If you know you're doing something, you know, you're killing little pigeons or something, and you're like, pigeons are holy creatures. Talk to someone, you know, get that. Pigeons are, they're people too. No, they're not. But, right? And if you don't know what is or isn't sin, read Jesus. Jesus lays down some good principles of how you know whether you're sinning or not. Find a mentor. You know, this is really important. Right now, the church is, you know, we're currently trying to find me an official Presbyterian mentor. I mean, I had that Graham Ferguson guy who was training me for 3 months, and Doug Lendrum. And then there's people in our very own church like Marty and Glenda and Jean and Tony, Y, Sulan, Jen, Daniel, who all speak into my life, who all mentor me, help me adapt to this New Zealand culture, who, you know, are always asking me, how's your walk with the Lord doing? You know, just giving me encouragement, all these types of things. This is essential. I mean, if you don't have that in your life, your walk with the Lord is going to diminish. It's really good to have people who you respect, who you honor, who you cherish, who you allow to speak into your life, who can just give you advice and just help and just encouragement. Try to find those people. There are people in this church who would love to be those people, right? So try to find those people. That's something. Find a mentor. Reach out to the new person at work. You know, maybe a new person's at work, they're eating lunch by themselves. Reach out to them. Just not to evangelize, just because that's the good thing to do. It's turning our world into a kingdom direction. Stand up for someone being bullied. I remember in the military, when I was in there, there was this one guy who was, for a while I was kind of like the guy being stepped on because, you know, I was a musician and I'm small and I'm scrawny. So, right. But then this other guy came who was even more of a mess up than me, right? He was just a total... But people started to really dig into him. Like, we're talking pretty bad. Like, Full Metal Jacket kind of bad stuff to this guy. If you've seen that movie, Gomer Pyle, right? And one day I was just like, I had because I knew how crappy it was to get crapped on. And so I just said, you know, guys, just stop it. Just stop, you know, and what? Right? You know, and I'm just like, just stop it. Just, you know, he didn't do anything. Like, it just, he messed up. That's fine, right? And then, you know, and then me and that guy started to develop a good friendship, and they stopped bugging him, you know? And it was just as simple as that, right? And as Christians, that's what we're called to do. We're called to stand up for those who are being stood on, even if we disagree with those people. You know, I thought the guy was a mess up. I thought he was, I don't think he should be in the military, really. But on the flip side, as a Christian, our calling is to stand up for individuals, even if we disagree with them, to protect them from the dark sides of this world, right? Join a home group. We have lots of home groups here. Join one. They're based on location, so you can go to one that's right next to you. We have a tertiary group every Wednesday night. So if you're youngish, you know, 40 and under, come to us, right? You know, and we talk about deep things. We do, right? With the church outreach, we have Gene's always sending out emails about all these people we can help through Presbyterian support. We have a food bank that we're having. If you have extra food, buy that food. Bring it. Yeah, food. And don't just buy the crappy, cheap home brand, you know, beans. I mean, I used to work in an inner city ministry, and I mean, it's kind of depressing. I mean, these guys eat the same donated food every single day. Hot dogs, beans, you know, cheap home brand soup. Like, I mean, think about it. Would you want to eat that every day? Because that's what they do. They eat that every day because that's all people give. You know, splurge a little. Maybe cut out one of those, like, 50 coffees you have this month and just, you know, buy the pans instead. I don't know. What's the good brands here, right? Buy the better brands. Buy better food if you can, right? Just saying, you know. If all you can afford is the cheaper stuff, then that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just, if you've ever been in that scenario where you're relying on a food bank, realize that's the only food they're getting. Begin a Bible study. Start your own Bible study. Say, you know what, you, let's start a Bible study, and it's going to be about young women in the 21st century or something like that. Or, you know, old men in the 21st century, right? And we're going to deal with the issues we're dealing with, right? Just start your own extra one. It's okay if you're already part of another one. Start another one. It's great. Invite someone new over for dinner. Share your home, right? You know, I'm sure not everyone here has been to everyone's house. I haven't even been to everyone's house, lame pastor, but, you know, try to, and I haven't invited everyone yet, right? So this is something you can do, practical things. If you see someone who needs help and you can help them, right? I mean, that's the call of the Christian. That's what we're here to do. We're called to be the people who are known to be out there turning our world in a kingdom direction. Right, that's what we want to be known for. And I realize that because of history and all that, that's really tough for the whole Christian church to be known for now. But wouldn't it be amazing if that's what our church was known for? That we go out and we want to see Auckland moved in a good, positive kingdom direction. So yeah, so these are all just practical things. I was just bullet, shotgun, machine gun, just laying a bunch of different things you could all do right now to enact the last 10 weeks of our sermon series, sermon stuff, right? Okay. Next week, Children's Sunday. Hot seat questions. I'm going to be put on the hot seat. Christian, I mean, they asked some pretty deep questions, like, is there minimum wage in heaven? Jesus have a girlfriend? You know, but and then there was other more deep scientific questions, all those types of things. Come. Interact. There's going to be interaction. If you're like, you know, Pastor, what you just said was crazy, just say that in front of everyone. My wife does all the time. If you've been here, you've seen her do it. So, you know, you're free to do that. And it'd be a good interaction to just wrestle with some of those questions that Christians have. And yeah, thank you very much. And I hope you enact something I just said today. Let's pray. Okay. Lord God, I just pray that you would guide this congregation, Lord, that we would apply what you have taught us. We've been discussing all these different things in this sermon series, Lord, and I just pray that we would be a people who actually want to apply what you have taught us, that we don't just believe in you, but we actually put that into action. So I just pray that we would be a congregation known for that, that we want to apply the faith, that we want to live the faith, and that we want to proclaim the faith in the city of Auckland. We pray this in your heavenly name. Amen.